Om Gyana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Just call this devotee who's sitting there in front of you. Yeah. Well, I can tell you from here that sitting like this is considered improper because it looks like you're passing stool. So, at least in Indian culture, you don't sit in front of people like this. So, as you're sitting in front of the most important person, it's probably better to sit properly. So for the last 2 days, I spoke on the topic, who is Krishna? Now, it would seem appropriate to speak on the topic, who is Srila Prabhupada? Just as Krishna is inconceivable, so his devotees are inconceivable. Inconceivable means not totally inconceivable, that there's just nothing there, but their glories are inconceivable. That's a better way to put it. We cannot reach the limit of Krishna's glories, but still we should discuss about Krishna. We should know Krishna to the extent that he presents himself. In Bhagavad Gita we find various verses. Aham sarvasya, talking about knowing Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavam matas sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante maam buddha bhava samanditaha. Krishna says, I am the source of everything, everything comes from me. Knowing this, considering this, those who are intelligent, they worship me with love. So we can understand Krishna to the extent that he presents himself in Bhagavad Gita. And then there's further also, he introduces himself in Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam. There's further understanding of Krishna. Not different understanding, but further understanding. And then even further, that some very intimate writings understanding the personality of Krishna are described in writings of devotees, especially Rupa Goswami and others. Now, who is Prabhupada? Well, philosophically speaking, Jiva Surup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. Every jiva is a servant of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he taught us this, as every bona fide guru must do. He also presented himself as a jiva, not as God, as many bogus gurus do. They present themselves as being God, as is there's a well-known verse which is quoted among Indians that Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Deva Maheshwara, Guru Sakshat Param Brahma Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. There's a verse which says that the Guru is Brahma, the Guru is Vishnu, the Guru is Shiva, the Guru is directly the supreme truth. Therefore I offer my obeisances to him. This is a favorite of the Mayavadis. Although, anyway, you know that comes in the Garga Samhita also. Durvasa Muni also quotes that. But, no, Krishna quotes it regarding Durvasa Muni, but it's joking. And then Durvasa Muni says, yeah, Krishna's the greatest brahmacharyas. Joking is going on there. So, yeah, the Mayavadis like to quote this, and then, I can also become a guru. So I can also become as, they don't talk about being as good as God, they talk about being God. That's why we worship Prabhupada. At least myself, I know that I was so fed up of all these completely bogus, useless people posing themselves as gurus. I was so happy to have a guru who was completely spiritual and completely down to earth also. Talking sense instead of nonsense. Actually, the first time one of my friends at school showed me some of Prabhupada's books, which he got from devotees. He showed them to me. He was very eager to show them to me. I said, I don't want to even look at them, I said. I know all these Indian gurus, they're all cheaters. That was my first response when I saw Prabhupada's books. Unfortunate for me, it took me another couple of years before I came across Prabhupada's books again and then read one of them. So Srila Prabhupada very matter-of-factly and down-to-earth manner taught that we are all servants of Krishna, and I am also a servant of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, who is he? He is a servant of Krishna. Still there's a difference between him and us, is that he fully accepts that and he's fully situated in his relationship of service to Krishna. And we are not. And he's guiding us toward that by repeatedly stressing that we are servants of Krishna. We find Srila Prabhupada's preaching was mostly on the basis of the principles of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada's preaching, it went over many areas, social, personal, psychological, but the points that he stressed most of all, as I have analyzed it, are the two points which he stressed most of all, which are the basis of all other understanding. One thing, that we are not the body. We are eternal, spiritual beings. And the second point is that we are controlled. We are not independent. Therefore, there is a controller. On these points, Prabhupada lectured. And lectured and spoke and wrote. And then, of course, we may say, well, what about Krishna? What about chanting Hare Krishna? Of course, Prabhupada taught this also. He would say that there is God. Krishna is God. And people would protest. Why Krishna? Well, what's your definition of God? What can you say about God? You don't know? Then take it from me. Krishna is God. I know. And chanting Hare Krishna. But actually when we see that Srila Prabhupada, he met so many people, he didn't usually ask them to start chanting in the beginning. First he would speak with them and present them. If he was going to speak with them, he'd present them with a philosophical understanding, again from Bhagavad Gita. So Srila Prabhupada was the world's greatest preacher of Bhagavad Gita, and still is by the distribution of his books. Vijay Prabhu, who's traveling all over the world, encouraging and guiding devotees in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. One of the observations he made is that many people who became devotees did so, of course, by reading Prabhupada's books. How many of you first came to Krishna consciousness by reading Prabhupada's books? Many. Majority. Well, Vijay Prabhu, he noted that especially Bhagavad Gita as it is, people come, become devotees by reading this. We may think, well, that's very difficult. And we might not think that it would be so effective, but Vijay Prabhu's experience is that people become devotees by reading Bhagavad Gita as it is. And actually it is. It's very powerful. We may think that people may not want to read it because it is difficult compared to other books like Coming Back or Science of Self-Realization, which are all very good books and we should distribute them all. But Bhagavad Gita as it is, then people can immediately understand that this is the very fact that it's with the Sanskrit, what's called Devanagari script, the looks like Hindi script, and the verses, word by word translation, people can immediately understand this is very authoritative just by looking at it. It's not just something which someone made up, which is why I read the Krishna book. I saw Prabhupada's books, I didn't even want to look at them. But then later when I did look and I saw it's an ancient scripture, then I thought, yes, I'll read it, because I didn't just want to read what some idiot dreamed up when he was, you know, sitting on the toilet one day. They spend their whole life just, you know, passing stool and talking stool. That's what all the bogus gurus do. That's their 24 hours. That's all they do. It's like diarrhea, verbal diarrhea. Just, no, really. I mean, these people, disgusting. I may not have love for Krishna, but I have a healthy disgust of all these bogus gurus. So that Prabhupada, he was presenting the ancient scripture, not just something which he had dreamed up. So people, they see Bhagavad Gita and they can immediately understand this is something very serious. It's not just someone's imagination that they dreamed up. And then when they read, and then they're even more impressed. Because there are people, even today, there are intellectual readers. Not that everyone's only reading the cartoons. Everyone reads the cartoons in the newspaper. Well, some papers even now don't have them, but there are intellectual newspapers. There are people even today who read intellectual books. So there are still some people who have some modicum of intellectual capacity. And when they read Prabhupada's books, then they can appreciate that this is something very substantial, something very real. Krishna arranges that the books go to those who need them. Everyone needs them. But Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Kripai Pai Bhakti Lata Beach Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. When someone is ready to hear the message of Krishna, then they get Prabhupada's books. And then everything happens from there. So Srila Prabhupada is the world's greatest preacher of Bhagavad Gita. Even now, his Bhagavad Gita as it is being widely distributed. Srila Prabhupada traveled all over the world constantly in old age. Of course, a pure devotee is not old, not young. He doesn't identify with the body, but still that effect is there. Just like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita that I'm almost blind and I can hardly write because my hand is trembling from old age and I'm beset with arthritis, but still I'm writing somehow or other. So, although pure devotees, they're not affected by the body, but there is some appearance of it being so. Once, there was a big court case in England. They wanted to close the Bhaktivedanta Manas. Some people wanted to close that. So devotees hired one of the top lawyers in Britain. He was about 70 years old. And they, to prime him, to give him some understanding of who he is dealing with, they gave him Prabhupada's biography. And he read it as a background for the case. And he said, I was very impressed. And none of you can appreciate what he did. There's some kami lawyer telling the devotees that you can't appreciate what he did. And they said, well, they asked how. And he said, you see, he came out in old age and traveled so widely and worked so hard. He said, you can't appreciate what it means to do that in old age because you're not old. He was an old man. When you're old, then the bodily functions, they start to wind up, not even start to, that starts from practically the age of 20, 25, I don't know. What do the doctors say? That the body's growing and then It's developing, and then from maybe the age of 25, from 30, it slowly starts to wind down. And then when you get to 50, then you know that warning is there, that bodily functions start to degrade more and more. By the age of 70, it's not really the time to go out and start a worldwide movement. But Prabhupada did that. So he was traveling widely all over the world, and very busy schedule. But at night he would sit down and write his books, and by dictation. He had a good system, had it set up. He was translating Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. He gave us the whole spiritual world in so many ways, in the holy name. There's one very nice anecdote that's mentioned in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. Srila Prabhupada was wandering on the streets of New York, as unknown. He wasn't a big spiritual leader. He was, but he was no less a pure devotee than later when he was recognized to some extent. But at that time, Krishna had not manifested before him the movement that was to come. So he had a leaflet, just leaflet saying, please chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There may have been something else written on it also, but this one person who was helping Prabhupada at that time, he never became a serious devotee or disciple, but at that time he somehow or other met the Swami, and he would sometimes help Prabhupada, and he was Prabhupada's young man, unemployed and not very bright, it seems. But he was helping Prabhupada. And that's mentioned in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, that Prabhupada gave him this leaflet, and the man describes that Swamiji looked at me as if he was giving me the whole world. He just gave me a piece of paper. Okay, piece of paper. But he was giving much more than the whole world. Prabhupada realized that by giving the Hare Krishna mantra, he was giving far more than everything in the whole world. Just forget it and chant Hare Krishna. That's the real thing. Forget giving the world. What do you want the world for? It's just a bag of problems. But go beyond the world to the spiritual world. So Srila Prabhupada gave the spiritual world in so many ways. The Hare Krishna mantra, he gave the deities, he gave the association of devotees. But Srila Prabhupada said that my main contribution is my books. And even several times when he was traveling all over the world, several times he proposed, I'll just stop and sit down and write my books. And sometimes, at least once he said that, I can stop this traveling and preaching, but I cannot stop translating my books because that is my service to my Guru Maharaj. He took that as his most important service. So Srila Prabhupada gave us Krishna, gave us Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion. He mentioned these as the most important books. He worked so hard to produce them. And he said, if you want to know me, read my books. In modern ISKCON, we hear a lot of talk about relationships, which we didn't used to hear. And so devotees, they think, oh, what is my relationship with Prabhupada? So Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, read my books. The Vani is non-different from the Vapu. The instructions are non-different from the person, the form. Because, just consider this, that Prabhupada, very nice person, but if he hadn't spoken Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, then what would he be? Then he would be Abhay Charande, pharmacy, pharmaceutical salesman or businessman. That was what he would be. So he may be a very nice man, but what would it mean to us? What would it mean to anyone? His vani is what makes him Prabhupada, his instruction. So if we say that is what makes him so dear to Krishna, and then so dear to all those who have come in contact with him, because he teaches Krishna consciousness. So if we get his personal association, but we don't take his vani very seriously, then what is the meaning of our relationship with him? We may say, oh, Prabhupada joked with me, Prabhupada smiled at me. Yeah, but he also told you, get up in the morning, chant your rounds, follow the four regulated principles. What is his relationship? Relationship means we have to serve, do what he says. That's the basis of the relationship. It's not smiling and joking, getting your photograph taken with him. This is not the relationship. It's not the basis of it. The basis is that Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Aika Arna Kori Homane Asha. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would quote this and he would ask his disciples, do you know what this means? Do you know what this means? Can you say? Guru is very simple. Anyone who knows any Indian language except Tamil or Urdu, they could say. The words from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master, we should make them one with our heart and not desire anything else. It's very heavy words. We sing this daily. It's easy to sing, but it means full surrender. That's what it means. Prema bhakti jaha hoite. From him, prema. There is prema from him. Prema bhakti. But before that, guru mukha padma vakya chetete koriya aika. Accepting his words as our life and soul. This is the phrase that Prabhupada used. So yes, prema bhakti is from him. But not by imagination. Our relationship with him is on his terms. That he gives the terms and conditions. Guru's love for his disciple is not unconditional. There are conditions. To be a disciple, one has to follow. Otherwise, there's no meaning to being a disciple. Someone may be introduced, I'm a disciple of Prabhupada. They come in with, the tobacco and smell on their breath. But what's the meaning if we don't follow? Disciple means discipline. It's the same word. Shishya, shashan. The word shishya means disciple. And shashan means discipline. So, talking about relationship with Prabhupada, yeah, okay, but it's pleasing, no doubt, but it's not sentiment, not just sentiment, but the basis is following. What does Prabhupada say? Prabhupada say, if you want to know me, read my books. So that's there for everyone. When Srila Prabhupada was asked by a journalist, what will happen to you when what will happen to this movement, your movement, when you die? Srila Prabhupada, he immediately answered, I will never die. I will remain forever in my books, and you can utilize. So it's up to us. There's no need to go on talking this, that relationship. The relationship is that we are all servants of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada who is Srila Prabhupada? He is the founder acharya of ISKCON. He's a jiva, we are a jiva. But He is the founder, his specific position, he's the founder Acharya of ISKCON. He's special among jivas. He is Prabhupada. He has come to make so many, to guide people towards Prabhu, towards the Master who is Krishna. And at his feet, so many devotees are gathered. So Srila Prabhupada, he established his position. He insisted that whenever ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, when that title is given on any book or signboard or letterhead, then underneath it should be written, Founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prabhupada wanted to establish that. There have been many Acharyas before Srila Prabhupada, and hopefully there will be many coming after him, but he is the Founder Acharya of ISKCON, which means that every guru, they teach their disciples and they preach according to the time, place and circumstances, and in this material world everything is changing. But how Srila Prabhupada presented Krishna consciousness and taught us, that should be the basic standard. There are some things may change, will change. It wasn't that ISKCON was stereotyped or homogenous or what's the word? Everything was the same. Yeah, stereotyped. There were differences between individuals. That is, after all, the philosophy that Prabhupada taught us, that everyone is an individual. But individuality in Krishna consciousness is to be expressed within the parameters of the rules and regulations of devotional service given by the Acharyas. Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya of ISKCON. So there are various guidelines he gave and various instructions that he gave which need to be researched, actually. I happen to be on a committee that the GBC has formed called the Kirtan Standards Committee. There may be so many standards committees. Kirtan is the most essential function. So by analyzing Srila Prabhupada's writings and his verbal instructions, mostly in his letters, we won't find much. We'll find a lot in Prabhupada's books about that we should chant Hare Krishna, but about the techniques, there's not much in his books. But in his letters, there's a lot, and in verbal instructions. So I'm just saying this as an example. So it's very clear, Srila Prabhupada wrote, you can take note of this, because like pretty much every other temple in ISKCON, it's not followed, but it's very clear that Srila Prabhupada said that in the temple, during the arati, there should be, he stressed in the arati, there should be only mridanga and kartals. And he didn't want many other instruments practically at any time. Maybe for public programs like that, but so like that, Srila Prabhupada gave so many instructions on so many points, practical, philosophical. So these all need to be compiled and understood. Otherwise, if we don't understand, then we misunderstand. Who is Srila Prabhupada? He's our guru. He's the guru of all of us. There's this Ritvik philosophy, or not really philosophy, I mean, it doesn't really come up to the standard of a philosophy. Maybe in the modern age, what passes as philosophy, it could be thrown into the same garbage can as what's called philosophy in the modern age. So, they have this idea that, only Prabhupada should initiate. Prabhupada is the guru of everyone. He's already the guru of everyone. That as Prabhupada himself wrote about his own guru, that he is not just the guru of a few people gathered here, but he's the guru of the whole universe. Some recognize it and some don't. But it's just like, you see, we're here, at least those who are initiated and following, we're all disciples of Rupa Goswami. We're all Rupanuga. We're all followers of Rupa Goswami. That term is important, Rupanuga. That means that we are following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accepting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the line of Rupa Goswami. That means through the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the rules and regulations, the philosophy. Rupa Goswami was the leader of the six Goswamis. So whatever they wrote, Jiva Goswami, the philosophy gave, he systemized that. So we are all Rupanuga or Jivanuga. Sometimes that term is used also, Jivanuga, because he gave the philosophical understanding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. So we are Rupanuga, but we are specifically, there may be so many Rupanugas, but we are specifically in the Bhaktivinod Dhara, in the line of Bhaktivinod. Then we are in the Sarasvat Parampara from Bhakti Siddhanta. And in ISKCON we are followers of Srila Prabhupada. So we're all disciples of Prabhupada, and he's a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. That means that we're also disciples, grand disciple. We're also disciples. Shishya, prashishya. By disciple association, we're all disciples. But that also requires that, if we're going to be followers of Prabhupada, we should do what he says and take initiation from a guru who's following Srila Prabhupada. He wanted his disciples to initiate. That's very clear. He wanted them all to initiate widely. But it's not that we're deprived of Srila Prabhupada. Although I must say, I'm very happy that I was initiated by Srila Prabhupada. But it's not that by being initiated by a disciple of Srila Prabhupada that Prabhupada becomes distant from us. In fact, Prabhupada, he said that when he was going away from America to India, this was maybe 1968 or 9, and the movement was just begun, 1968 I believe it was. Anyway, it was quite early in the movement, and it wasn't sure whether Prabhupada was going to come back or not because his health was poor. So Prabhupada, he said, I leave you in the care of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He said, the grandfather is more affectionate than the father. Do you have that experience in your whole life? The grandfather is more affectionate. Nowadays, you don't know. Grandfather, you might not even have any father. Raised by your mother or two mothers. It's a very strange world that we live in today. So there's no reason that any of you cannot have an intimate relationship with Prabhupada. In fact, every one of you should have. It's not something, you're not barred from it, that I'm not a Prabhupada disciple, therefore I cannot have an intimate relationship with him. But Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, read my books. So how much do we want to know Prabhupada? We read his books and follow. And the relationship develops from that. The guru-disciple relationship develops from the guru being a guru by giving appropriate instructions. Otherwise, not a guru. It's not just that someone sits on a seat and starts ordering people around, and that's a guru. But he gives appropriate instructions, and a disciple means guru mokha padma vakya chite te koriya aika ana koriho mane asha. He follows them. And then the relationship develops. It's just like with anyone, with any relationship, there different relationships, they have different, there's different protocol, you could say. That in the school, the teacher can teach if the children are ready to learn. There has to be discipline. And nowadays they have the idea that, well, just go to, don't care about the teacher, but then people don't learn properly either. There has to be discipline. In the parent-child relationship, the parents, they discipline the children. And the children, they naturally tend to follow, and the parent-child relationship develops on that basis. If the child from the beginning is a rebel, like this we have in the Bhagavatam, the story of Vena, so the father can't relate properly. If the child doesn't want to relate as a child to the parent, then the parent can't relate, can't be a proper parent to the child. If the child just doesn't follow anything the father or mother says and just abuses them all the time, and then he expects, I don't have any relationship with my parents. But relationship means give and take. So in the friendship relationship, it's give and take, not just if you always take, then there's no friendship. It has to be give and take. Dadati pratigrihnati. Offering and taking. So in the, all relationships are on the basis of giving and taking. That's why in Hindi they say, if you don't have anything to do with anyone, you have no relationship with, you don't care for them at all. To usse mujhe kuch lena dena nahi hai. I have nothing to give to them and nothing to take from them. It means no relationship. Nothing there. Don't care for them at all. So, give and take. Now in the guru-disciple relationship, that means guru gives appropriate instruction, the disciple takes it. Disciple gives service and guru takes it. That's the give and take. And the relationship, then the affection develops. If there's no dadati pratigrihnati, if there's no giving and taking, then there's no, what's the base of relationship? It's not just sticking a picture on the wall or Prabhupada smiled at me. I mean, so many people may smile at you. But that Prabhupada smiled at me, that's because the devotee has so much respect for Srila Prabhupada, having acted as a disciple, then he feels that, oh, Prabhupada smiled at me. And then, yes, I feel so much blessed. Otherwise, so many people may smile at us. It's nice, but we don't care much, so much for that. On the street, someone may smile at you, but it doesn't mean that you take it as something very serious. But if someone, we have a very serious respect for them, and then they're showing affection to us, it means so much to us. So relationships in spiritual life, it's not like you find all these new age nonsense people talking about relationships. How can they have, what is this relationship? It's not just talking nicely. And as a matter of fact, Prabhupada, a lot of the time he didn't speak nicely to people. He was quite harsh, you could say, many times. And even newcomers, I remember Mahabuddhi told me, who is he? He was young, most of the people that came to Prabhupada was young, had long hair, he was earning quite a lot of money, puffed up. And Prabhupada, he came to see Prabhupada, and Prabhupada just, he was heavy with him like anything, and he just walked out, you know, all upset, and then he was driving home, and he thought, yeah, actually he was right. I'm a rascal. And he came back the next day with a check for $1,000, which was a lot of money in those days, and then eventually he surrendered. But I'm just making the point that Prabhupada, his niceness was not always expressed in, just like you find these superficial people, they always smiling and nice. It doesn't go beyond just smiling and being superficially nice. But Srila Prabhupada, he was very strong and very intense. He was a teacher. He took his position as guru very seriously. He taught everyone, you should be like this. You should reform your life. Of course, maybe not every single person. But just if he's walking past someone on the road, he might not stop them and grab them and tell them to surrender to Krishna. But if people entered into conversation with them, with Srila Prabhupada, he would give them Krishna consciousness. And many times, yeah, of course, charming, yes. Affectionate in his dealings, yes. But not just some cream puff, there's a saying. Not just some, you know, just take some cream pie or something like this. He behaved with people in such a way that their Krishna consciousness could be revived, which many times meant that he was hacking at the egos of egoistic people. This morning we heard Jayapataka Maharaj in his offerings, his Vyasa Puja offering, that Prabhupada, he said to Prabhupada that, "I'm the most insignificant," and Prabhupada said to him, "You're not the most anything." It sounds like, you know, "I'm so humble," and Prabhupada said, "You're not the most anything." Prabhupada didn't say, "Oh, you're most insignificant, oh, you're so humble." No, he just kicked him verbally. who is Prabhupada? It's a very big question. Who can preach Krishna consciousness all over the world? Even physically, that lawyer could understand that to travel like that for what appears to be an old man is very difficult. We find now so many of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, sannyasis, they're traveling so much and their health is run down and they're not 70 years old, most of them, from so much traveling. It's not easy on their health. And Prabhupada took so much strain of management and just constantly people coming at him, expecting so much from him. It's a very intense situation, actually, especially for Prabhupada. He had the whole weight of the ISKCON movement on his head. Just like, to give an example, Srila Prabhupada was pushing on the movement practically single-handedly in India. And very few Indians were joining at that time. And hardly any educated or more capable Indians were joining at that time. Hardly any. And who joined? Srup Damodar, who later became Bhakti Srup Damodar Maharaj. He joined in the West. Yashomati Nandan joined in the West. There were a few educated who joined in India. Bhakti Charu Maharaj joined in the West. Well, he'd been in the West and he joined in India. Sava Bhavana. There were some, I don't want to say their names, some educated, but then what they did afterward. Hare Krishna. Yeah, Chaitya Guru, some here and there. Few, not many educated. So Prabhupada was bringing Western devotees to India. In 1971, he was scheduled to meet Indira Gandhi, and he had in his notebook the first point that he wanted to bring to her: give permanent visas for 500 foreign devotees. That time there were hardly maybe 1,000 devotees in the whole movement. He probably wanted to shift the movement to India. No one could understand. Why, Prabhupada, why are you pushing? Why in India? Is Indian VC, no one's joining. And at that time, now we can see why Prabhupada was pushing so much in India. Because once it caught on, then it caught on very well. But at that time, the devotees couldn't understand. So Prabhupada, he was practically managing the whole movement in India by himself and pushing on the construct, really pushing. The devotees were struggling in so many ways with health, and they couldn't relate to the culture, they couldn't speak the language. And on top of all that, they had Prabhupada, was very heavy, hammering them. Why is this building not? Why this? Why not? He was very, very heavy in India. He was available also. I came to India just before Prabhupada passed away, came to stay, so I didn't experience that. But I heard from so many devotees. Giving this Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Prabhupada kept him in India practically by force. He didn't want to leave. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was always saying, Prabhupada kept him from managing, to help Prabhupada manage in India. It's very difficult in so many ways to manage the devotees, manage the construction and the projects, and so many legal matters, and it's difficult for devotees. I mean, I came to stay in India in 77, and it was very difficult at that time in many ways. It's much easier now, in many ways, than in India, than it was in those days. So eventually Tamal Krishna Maharaj practically insisted that, Prabhupada, I'm going to the West. So he went to the West and he did something wonderful there, no doubt. But Prabhupada said to him that you can leave, but I cannot. You can leave your responsibility, but I cannot. So practically he had the whole burden of the movement on his head. That different leaders would fall down. Karanda was managing his movement in America. Practically, he was overseeing everything, Karanda. And then he fell away, and Prabhupada had to go on. He trusted different leaders. But he took the whole weight of, it was all on his head. That others, they may not have taken it so seriously, but for Prabhupada, it was his movement. So he took so much strain, which is why now we can serve Srila Prabhupada by at least trying to keep this movement on the track that he put it on, and keeping its mission pure and keeping to the point, because it's very easy to deviate. Prabhupada gave us very high standards. Whatever appreciation is there for our movement is all over the... Whatever appreciation is there is because of our high standards. Of course, there's appreciation. People appreciate our prasadam. Here in Slovenia also, people appreciate. Our movement is known for nice food, is it? Among the vegetarians, at least. They know Hare Krishna food is good. Actually, we always... When I joined, it was only Indian-style prasadam. And then gradually the apple pies and everything came in. And now there's no Indian prasadam left except on Janmashtami, practically. But Prabhupada gave us the whole culture of the spiritual world. He didn't give us apple crumble, custard, and all these things. Pizza. So what was I saying? I got sidetracked. Yeah, people appreciate. They like the chanting in the streets, but on the long run, people who are more discerning, they appreciate the principles that we follow, the ideals that we have. So if we don't maintain that, then what's going to be left? Then there won't be chanting. There won't be prasadam. The idea... Prabhupada, he gave us something very strict to follow by modern standards, to live without even taking tea. What to mention? No alcohol. Already people are, you know, it's too much. In the Western world, they think it's a very difficult thing to follow. But then no tea, no coffee, no intoxication of any kind. And in the Western world, people, they... Pridley, isn't it? Almost everyone's on some kind of intoxication. Tea, coffee, yeah, I mean, that's everyone. But then, even a few years ago I was in America and someone said to me, I'm on Prozac. And I said, what? Is it Prozac? It's like saying tea. It's an antidepressant drug, but it's a household word because I think about 50% of the population in America take Prozac. So, sleeping pills, the people that, they can't sleep at night, and then to get up in the morning they need something to boost them up, or they take coffee, very strong coffee, just like a drug. Otherwise they can't function without these things. So Prabhupada said, no intoxication, no illicit sex. Heavy rule. Very heavy rule, because it just seems that, well, you know, men are there, women are there, and why not? And even why not, they don't even think why not. It's just, you know, just like some animal, like iron to a magnet or something like that. The iron filings don't think why not. They get attracted automatically. They don't, so it's like that, and we, so, no illicit sex. It's a heavy restriction. But it's required. There's no Krishna consciousness. There's no serious advancement in spiritual life if we are living, as Srila Prabhupada so often said, like cats and dogs. He used this example. Modern society, people are living like cats and dogs. And he particularly said this in relation to their lack of sexual restraint. As Prabhupada often said, that for human beings there is a marriage ceremony, not for animals. So in every culture of the world, marriage is a religious institution with the idea that it's a sacred pact taken in the name of God. It's something very serious. Now divorce, remarriage, again divorce, remarriage, and it goes on and on. It's actually illicit sex. There's no such thing as divorce in Vedic culture or in any actual human society. So no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, what is it? No meat eating. So these are, it's heavy rules, and there are more rules also, especially for those who live in the temple, but those who are living outside, maybe some little, not much, some relaxation, but everyone's expected to rise early, and then no TV, no, dog food, dogs and cats. Well, it's a problem. You become a dog, isn't it? Yang vapi swaran bhavam. You see that. People, their face. You see someone's very attached to their dog or their horse. You see them walking and you look at the dog and you look at the person. You see they're getting ready for the next life. Colonel Sanders. His photos, his pictures there, KFC. He looks just like a chicken, isn't it? Which one of his chickens is he now? So be careful. Don't become, that's why we should read Prabhupada's books. Don't follow the, just like the Bharat Maharaj. He became attached to a deer. He had to take birth as a deer. He was highly elevated. We're not highly elevated. We just take birth as a dog, that's all. We don't get the remembrance of our previous life. So all these things, Prabhupada gave it's actually very strict, but people who read Prabhupada's books, they will understand, they'll automatically follow these things. We shouldn't need to preach all these things over and over again, at least to people who are coming regularly, because if we read Prabhupada's books, then it becomes obvious how we have to surrender to Krishna. In every line of Prabhupada's books, in every drop of ink, and between the drops also, surrender to Krishna, surrender to Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are all His servants. Surrender to Krishna. It's like the percussion going on underneath. There may be different melodies. Prabhupada is describing so many topics, but we find in Srila Prabhupada's books, which we don't find in writings of the previous acharyas. The previous acharyas, from what I see, their writings were philosophical, establishing the points, but in Srila Prabhupada's books, it's pushing us. Not just describing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the jiva is His eternal servant, and the duty of the jiva is to surrender it to Him, but Prabhupada is writing that He's in the way that he's exhorting us, surrender to Krishna, surrender to Krishna, surrender to Krishna. So if we read Prabhupada's books, then we know Prabhupada and automatically we follow. And then everything becomes clear. Everything becomes very clear. I was just asked to take a tour of the bookshop and maybe remove some of the books which are there. And actually, I could have removed more, but I don't know how much you are ready for that. But, I mean, if we're reading Prabhupada's books, it should be obvious, I know, that highly intimate pastimes, that's not meant for everyone. It's not only meant for the very highest devotees. That shouldn't be just passed around like, you know, some Mickey Mouse cartoon book. Anyone can buy it. And that's what will happen. That's the danger, actually, in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. If it's not taught systematically and clearly, then people hear the stories of Radha and Krishna and they think it's just stories. It's just like some fairy stories. They don't take it very seriously. And if there's no surrender and we just hear all these intimate pastimes and we think we're already there, but there's no actual proper following or surrender, then we become the Sahajya class, Prakriti Sahajya, who think, yeah, Krishna consciousness is very easy, very nice. We know all this Radha Krishna Leela, but we don't need to follow all these things, following basic principles. That's for people on the lower level. So anyone can read books, but to these high level books and think that they're on a high level, but it doesn't happen. That's why it doesn't happen unless we've follow the process of surrender. Follow it very carefully. That's why these books, I met several disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the course of my research for this book which I wrote. They all told me they'd never read books like Ujjvala Nilamani. They never read such books. Even they may be qualified themselves, but they didn't read it. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught, that everything will be revealed by Krishna now. So they may be qualified to read, but they're so afraid of the Babaji class. Prabhupada said, we do not want Babaji class of people taking this cheaply. Maybe they read it also. I don't know. Maybe they just told me they didn't read it. Maybe they had read it, but just for my good, maybe they told me like that. But the point is that so cautiously we should approach these topics. And now, just everywhere, you see, people walk into an ISKCON temple, they just pick up the love songs of Vidyapati, and they don't know anything about spiritual life. And even if we know theoretically, we have our Bhakti Shastri degree, Bhakti Vaibhav degree, all this, but practically we have to manifest that in our lives, and become surrendered to Krishna, and then if we're very serious and sincere, then it will become clear to us when to read, not just as a fancy or on a whim that we do so. So if we're going to follow Prabhupada, then we should know all these things. That Prabhupada, sometimes they say he was a beginning level teacher. Yes, he's beginning level because we're on the beginning level. And higher level, yes, Prabhupada can teach us everything, but we have to come to that level and not artificially. So like this, we should read Srila Prabhupada's books. It's also very useful to read. I find it very useful. Useful, when I say useful, I mean beneficial. Beneficial is a better word. In the ultimate sense, not beneficial for the body or the mind or the ego, but beneficial for us as servants of Krishna. To read Srila Prabhupada's books, it's also very beneficial to read, there are many biographical works about Srila Prabhupada. Some are better than others. This transcendental diary of Hari Shori Prabhu, I find that very valuable because it gives a very intimate look at Srila Prabhupada and his teachings. There's a lot of his teachings are there, which in Lilamrita also, but they're by necessity, the nature of the book, the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, it's an overview. So the teachings are not gone into very deeply, whereas in Transcendental Diary also it's not very deeply. For that you have to read the books, but we see how there Prabhupada's classes are summarized, and we see how Prabhupada lived from day to day. Anyway, there are so many things to say. Who is Srila Prabhupada? Well, when Prabhupada was asked about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, what shall I say? He was a Vaikuntha man, not of this world. He lived in this world, but he was not of this world. He came to this world to take us to another world. He gave us the process, which by following, we can step out of this world. Prabhupada, he said, you just hold on to my dhoti and I'll take you back to Godhead. I've heard it, so Prabhupada said that. So like that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was, Prabhupada said, I'm 80% more lenient than my Guru Maharaj. He said, the grandfather is 80% more affectionate, or he's more affectionate. He said, I'm 80% more lenient. And actually, I think it's more than 80%, if you say that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he was speaking, of course, he would often profess extreme humility, but it was very clear he was on a very, yeah, when I go like this, someone takes a photo of us. They're waiting for the moment. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, then it was just like saying, come up, don't stay down, come up. But Prabhupada, as I said, his mood was more like, yeah, come with me, taking our hands, and himself pretending that he was a neophyte. In many ways, he lived with the devotees, spoke with them, and made it very easy. Krishna consciousness is very easy, very nice, very natural. So, Prabhupada, you know, in many ways he acted ordinarily, but clearly he was extraordinary. So, we're all very fortunate to be his servants and disciples. He's very kind of him to accept us. We can become close to Prabhupada by following what he has given us. Who is Prabhupada? Sometimes people say, is he a gopi or is he a gopa? When Prabhupada himself was asked about this, he would quite strongly respond, that's not your business. We know he's the servant of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Although, it seems pretty clear to me from that he was what is that? Krishna tava punna hobe bhai, my brother Krishna. Koto, what is that? Koto bane muta puti bani. What is it? Koto bane muta puti. We were singing this morning. We'll run in the forests, rolling on the ground, herding the cows. Anyway, no need to speculate about this. All right, any question about this? There could be so many questions. No, all right, so we'll finish that. Yeah, you have a question.
Regarding this last topic which you mentioned.
I shouldn't have brought it up. They'll argue forever. It's one of those things they're going to argue forever. No, Prabhupada was a gopi. No, Prabhupada was a cowherd boy. Whatever. Who are we? We're just conditioned souls. Just follow what Prabhupada gave us, that's all.
I mean, I'm not into it. I just, if you can maybe enlighten us more, because some people say because how he established, Srila Prabhupada installed so many Radha Krishna deities.
Like I say, they will go on forever, the discussion. Radha Krishna, the cowherd boys, they're not banned from Radha Krishna.
Maybe you made more
they
clear.
Also, all of Vrindavan is worshipping Radha Krishna. It's all meant for that. The trees, the cows, they're all assisting. Mother Yashoda, she doesn't know anything about it. She's blind to that because she can only see Krishna as my son. But she loves anyway. I have to. You can read further yourself. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhupada. All glories to you, very much.